From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Valentine's Day this year marked 3 years since Tracy Day went missing. Day, who is Tlingit, is one of several Native Alaskan Juneau residents who disappeared and haven't been found. About 30 people gathered on Monday night to share their stories and sing to their missing loved ones. KTOO's Rasha McChesney has this story.
A row of seven portraits sits propped up near the whale statue in Overstreet Park in Juneau. They're all Alaska Native people who went missing in Juneau or nearby communities, and most have not yet been found or were found dead. One of them is Tracy Day. When she was 14 years old, Day ran away from home in Juneau and beelined for Mike Kinville's house in Ketchikan. Kinville's family and Day's family have been close for generations.
She had known that I was a drinker at one time, and she came looking to drink with me, and I had gotten sober since then. So I was in a position to take her in, and we started doing foster care for her.
Kinville says she stayed with the family for nearly 3 years. He says Day had a lot of charisma, that she was joyful and mischievous at the same time.
Kind of a smart aleck.
Kinville's family ended up taking care of Day's daughters, too. The older one when Day went away to nursing school, and the younger one after she went missing.
Our families are tied together really close. So that's pretty Tlingit, too. But the generational ties to back and forth together.
Before she disappeared, Kinville says Day had her ups and her downs. She struggled with substance abuse and her mental health. It's the kind of thing a lot of families experience but don't usually talk about.
Yeah, you learn to guard your heart to a certain extent with situations as much as you can, but it's still, you still get bruised, you know, and in this case, heartbroken. It's just the heartbreak can't heal because we don't know what happened to her.
Kinville says that what makes it even harder is that before she disappeared, Day seemed like she was finally getting some stability in her life. And as he looked down that row of photos of Juno's missing again and talked about each of the families they left behind, he got choked up.
You know, I said heartbroken, but what it feels like is an ache in my soul. It's just, you know, so deep, you know, deeper than my bones. This sense of this unresolved pain that goes on and on. And it's really difficult. My heart goes out to the families of these missing people, you know. I imagine I have their sympathy as well, but It's the other part about it that's difficult is, you know, life goes on for everybody else and things go back to normal, and that part of us is still missing.
Kinville says he's hoping the vigil will help people understand what it's like to love someone and not know what happened to them, that it's this wound that just won't close.
Can understand why it's important for a community to come together and not give up on the people who are missing and not marginalize these people. You know, what's common here is race and income bracket, I think, you know, and that's not the society that I want to live in. You know, I think we can do better than this. I hope we do.
It's a common criticism among families in Juneau whose Alaska Native relatives have gone missing, that they just don't get the attention from the community or law enforcement that other people do. Several women sang throughout the night for those who have missing and murdered Indigenous relatives.
And we are gifted a name, and it's Klatsini Sha, Strong Women.
Rhonda Butler is one of them. She says they sing to bring strength to families who are struggling from these losses.
One of our strengths is our voices. And if we don't use our voices, no one will hear. So we're here to share a couple songs with everyone here in honoring Tracy Day and all the other missing and murdered Indigenous peoples.
The temperature dropped as the sun went down, but people stuck it out. They lit candles and sheltered the flames from the wind. And then they started lighting these flying lanterns. Toward the end of the evening, as the snow started to fall more heavily, one woman said she wanted to sing a hymn for Tracy Day. And Day's twin sister, Angela, jumped up and ran over to join in.
Akan kaulu atsati, Kletla sa achyakuna bune yatlingeda niglen ye thie.
They huddled together, rocking and shivering, and they sang How Great Thou Art as the flickering light from sky lanterns faded off into the distance over Gastineau Channel. In Juneau, with help from Lindsay Brolini, I'm Rasha McChesney.
To help tackle the violence in Alaskan Native villages, a bill in Congress would expand tribal court jurisdiction. In a pilot program, up to 30 Alaskan tribes would be able to hold criminal trials and sentence anyone who commits a domestic or sexual violence in their village, even if the offender is non-Native. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports.
Law and Policy Director at the Alaska Native Women's Resource Center says perpetrators who prey on women and children are really smart. They know where they can get away with crimes.
They've taken advantage of villages for, you know, forever. I mean, this is an issue from first contact where they've known that they can do things with impunity. And, you know, this is our chance to say no more.
Senator Lisa Murkowski added the Alaska pilot program to a bill that would renew the Violence Against Women Act. The last time VAWA was renewed, in 2013, it allowed lower 48 tribes the power to prosecute all cases of domestic violence on their reservations, regardless of the defendant's race or tribal membership. Murkowski remembers how controversial it was.
There was a great deal of concern that this was going to change administration of justice. It was going to be, they were not going to be courts that were serious. It was a matter that was very hotly contested and debated.
Now more than two dozen tribes exercise those powers with grants and technical assistance from the Justice Department. Murkowski says it works, and the predictions of terrible injustice have not come to pass. She says the change the bill makes for Alaska is limited.
We're not creating Indian country through this. It is just a recognition that in order to provide for a level of safety in our communities, we had to look to some alternatives.
But tribal jurisdiction is a little trickier in Alaska. Of Alaska's 229 tribes, only one, Metlakatla, has a reservation. Many of the others have tribal courts that decide child protection and adoption cases, bootlegging, and interpersonal violence. Their power over non-members is limited, some argue non-existent. The House and Senate versions of the VAWA reauthorization bill would change that for participating tribes. The Senate bill relies on census tract information to define the jurisdiction boundaries, and it leaves it up to the U.S. Justice Department to decide whether a tribe is eligible. Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy did not take a position on the expansion of tribal criminal jurisdiction when asked about it last week. He said he's still reviewing the bills but will ensure, quote, everybody's constitutional rights are protected, unquote. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Former Alaska Supreme Court Chief Justice Craig Stowers died late last week. Stowers retired in 2020 after 11 years on the court. He was the Chief Justice for 3 years. He was a park ranger in Denali National Park before studying law. Current Chief Justice Daniel Winfrey was on the Supreme Court the entire time that Stowers was a justice.
Craig was a wonderful colleague. Incredibly smart, of course, very hardworking, always prepared, and with a lot of his life experiences, had lots of fun stories to tell and had a great sense of humor.
Winfrey also praises Stowers' approach to his work.
He was always very knowledgeable about, you know, the underlying facts of a case, very diligent in making sure that he understood the law, and was very accomplished in our discussions around the table, arguing our various points of view about this and that and trying to come to a consensus. He was just a very strong justice.
Matt Peterson founded a law firm with Stowers in the mid-90s. He says Stowers applied his strength as a lawyer to being a judge.
He really was an asset to Alaska, not just the legal community, but the entire state.
This is KTOO. I'm Yvonne Krimry.